Coming up today on the show, we're going to talk some Disney news and rumors, and we're going to answer the age-old question, are the rafts really a ride? That's coming up today on Traveling with the Mouse. Boo. What's up, everybody? My name is Adam. This is episode number 494 of Traveling with the Mouse. I already said my name, and that I am joined by is John.
I was just going to say that I don't know what the spiel is for the rafts. Is there a spiel for the rafts?
Not a standard spiel. No. Actually, there is. There's like, you're going to feel a bump and then a jolt to the right or something. What are they saying?
Okay.
No, they always say that they're gonna see a. Oh, I'm not gonna say it.
Why?
Because it's a. It could be interpreted differently.
Misconstrued.
Yes. When you're about to dock, they tell you you're gonna feel a bump, and then a something else.
Okay. A bump and a something else.
They say tug.
A bump and a tug. A tug and a bump.
It's interesting.
I don't see how you could that could possibly be misconstrued. So,
all right, I'll leave it at that. So yeah, we are gonna answer the age old question. Speaking of, we already settled the monorail Skyliner.
Well, I mean, you say the age old question, but I mean, we have a shirt that already declares the answer. So,
well, what do you think our unbiased research has determined?
Unbiased. Well, the question of the bias depends on if you were sweet talking your girl before.
I completely am talking about my AI. She is. I told her to be unbiased.
Well, that's sure. If someone who's infatuated with you, if you just told them to be unbiased,
yeah, they listen to you. No. Anyway, so we'll get to that shortly.
I'm going to ask an alternative just so you can, just to see. What's the question you asked? Just simply, are they right?
No.
Or did you get more complex?
Oh, I did some deep research on it. I had a very long prompt on that one. But anyway, we'll get to it. There's a lot of big news to talk about, though. But I did want to throw a plug for the monorail and Skyliner merch that we have in case you...
Yes.
Are a big fan of either because, you know, I put out a blog post last week, as you're hearing this, about my feelings about the monorail, because even though it lost, the monorail still is my choice.
Yes. So
I gave my reasons.
Well, there's a lot of people that would still choose the monorail. I mean, you know.
Yeah,
I don't know why you have to choose, really. I mean, you can take both forms of transportation depending on where you are and what you're doing. Yeah. So
that's just the way the culture we live in. It's like there always has to be a winner. It's funny you say that wearing a monorail shirt right now, but
I know. This is exactly that's what I'm saying. You don't choose, and you're wearing it. Just like I believe you can like both Universal and Disney. You don't believe that though.
No, so you have to pick one or the other. It's either 100% one.
And I believe you can also go to things like Dollywood, SeaWorld, Legoland. I mean, you can go to all these places.
I thought you were about to say Six Flags, too.
Like, Six Flags? You can go to Six Flags.
You can.
But S-Fog, as there is around here.
Yeah.
S-Fog.
It's doable. Well, you know where else you can go soon if you want more Disney is Abu Dhabi. Speaking of parks. Oh.
Speaking of parks, you're going to just roll right out with that one, huh?
Why not? That was the big story. We might as well talk about it. Everybody else is. Everybody has their theories about it and thoughts about it and feelings about it.
Yeah. Don't you think, you know, if we're just going to, I know everybody's memories are short, though. But don't you think just the fact that they're going here is a bit hypocritical? If we just go back, I don't know, 3, maybe 4 years.
Yeah.
For the, what's the official name of the bill that was referred to as Don't Say Gay in Florida? And that versus building a theme park in a place where it is literally illegal to be homosexual.
Yes, or trans or anything.
I'm just saying.
It is interesting, isn't it? It's like a complete 180 departure. I've heard a lot of fans sort of backlash on that one.
Yeah. Not to mention they just totally forgot about the bill that's already in place and is obviously not, as I'll quote Bob Iger, harming children. So anyway, just saying.
Yeah. Well, it's a new era. It's 2025. So I guess they're just rolling with it. I've also heard that this is similar to a Tokyo situation where Disney's doesn't have to come out very much money on this. They're basically going to fund it.
I was thinking, can't we just like develop a crowdfunding, like a group or whatever for Florida?
I know. I'm like,
what can't we just come up with it'll be like a crowdfunded LLC that will be in charge of the money when it comes to Disney World, and then maybe we can get better. Maybe we can get better things.
I know. Like, what billionaire can we get that's like a huge Disney fan and just like donate?
That's what I'm saying. In the age of crowdfunding, you know, I think there's enough Disney fans that could do that if you include the ones that have money. You know, well, I'm saying they have to have at least a little bit of money, or else they wouldn't be able to go. But still,
yeah, I think that might be the problem is that they spend all their money at Disney anyway. Disney's not returning that investment so much, but
something like that.
But yeah, I mean, you are right. This sort of came out of nowhere, it felt like.
Like an RKO.
An
RKO. I guess you don't get that reference.
No.
Never mind. Really just move along. No.
Okay.
Someone out there got that reference.
Okay. Cool. But it promises to be like the most technologically advanced park and all this stuff. Well, yeah, because Disney's not funding it, apparently. So, of course it will be.
Like Tokyo. And isn't Hong Kong that way, too, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, I don't think Disney owns all of that one either. But,
or Shanghai. Shanghai has definitely some influence, or else it wouldn't. They get all that cool stuff there. There's no way Disney's doing that one all on their own.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's mostly the U.S. and Paris now that they own the majority of, and then the rest are partial.
Maybe they should sell the land that they own in favor of like a really long lease. And that way they would have more money to invest.
The concept art is also very vague currently. It looks to me like purposely blurry.
Yeah, there'll be more at the D23, I think, right? That's what we kind of decided.
Destination D23, it's actually at Coronado Springs this year in August 29th.
The other conference hotel.
Yeah.
right. Contemporary with the original one.
Yeah, I feel like it's almost was always at the Contemporary, but I saw this year it's at Coronado, so that's pretty cool.
Anywhere that has a conference room or conference rooms.
Yeah. All right, so it's going to be a castle park, but the castle is like a giant crystal trophy looking thing, isn't that? Or is it Elsa's Ice Palace? Like, that's kind of what it looks like, maybe, could be. And there's some other like things. Honestly, I think what they did was they just took some existing concept artist stuff and they just blurted out and then stuck it in places. So Tron appears to be on the right side, like the canopy, but it's really blurry, but it looks like Tron to me. And then there's also one that kind of looks like Everest. And then there's one that looks like the concept art for this Moana thing that they were going to build at Animal Kingdom, or it could be maybe the Pandora at Disneyland concept art I've seen recently. Then there's one that basically looks like the Wonders of Life Pavilion.
Maybe they're going to rebuild Epcot there, the old Epcot. Better.
Dude, if they build a Horizons, that might get me to go.
Right.
And then it looks like they have an outdoor amphitheater. I was like, is this like a Fantasmic thing? Who knows?
They're going to take everything in the U.S. This is going to be the hugest, the most huge park ever. And they're going to put... They're going to put literally everything in the U.S. that they've ever had in this park. I don't know. They do like to do things big over there.
Yeah. And it's going to have to be extravagant to get enough people interested in it. You would think you can't just do kind of the standard stuff.
Isn't it Abu Dhabi that they have a like a timeline of what the city looked like a really long time ago? And then they talk about how they show the build up to what it looked like what it looks like now type deal. Yeah.
I mean, I think Abu Dhabi and Dubai are about, they're pretty close to each other.
Maybe it's Dubai that I'm thinking of.
But they're both kind of the same situation. They're both very much
They were both built by American dollars paying for oil, pretty much.
Yeah, a lot of it, oil money, yeah.
Yeah.
And they're very wealthy over there, so
yeah,
it's pretty elaborate.
So in a way, we did fund this.
Yeah, possibly.
The country did anyway.
Yeah.
So see, it can be done. We just need to put our money in Florida.
Yeah. Ugh. I don't know how we earmark it for Disney World improvements, but I wish we could.
Yeah. We'll put a note on it that says, this money is not for Bob Iger.
Yeah. Don't go to your bonus, sir. You get enough. Go to something else. Speaking of expensive, extravagant things, did you see the menu for GL82, which is opening in just a few weeks?
I heard about the price.
Yeah.
At least the pricing for a family of four, was it not?
Well, yes. Okay. Yeah. The fireworks party, we had talked about that last week, but party of four, because it's adults. No, not family. It's adults only. It was like $900.
Yeah, and it couldn't be a family of four, but unless they're a family of all adults. So
yeah. Yeah, if they're all drinking age.
Pretty much.
Yeah, 21 and up for this place. But man, from what I've seen, this place now has the most expensive old-fashioned on Disney property. I could be wrong, but on their menu, they have brown butter old-fashioned, which is $28. The previous high that I recalled was at the Enchanted Rose of the Grand Floridian. They had one that was seasonal, I think, for $25. This one is $28. That's almost the price of a lily at the La Cava de Quila.
So which would you take?
I'd probably take this old-fashioned, actually, because... The lily's okay, but...
Is mostly smoke and show, right?
Yeah. The corn old-fashioned, however, I would probably take it, La Cava, over just about anything. So, let's see. They have a lot of $20 and up drinks. They have an exclusive bourbon flight for $45. They have a highball for $26. A peach shrub whiskey smash for $26. Yeah. Very expensive drinks.
I wonder what the profit margin is on their alcohol. It's got to be high.
Yeah.
I find it hard to believe it's that expensive to make these things.
No.
You know what I mean?
I mean, it's always like 100% markup, isn't it, or more?
I mean, it's high, I'm sure, because people pay it most of the time. But, I mean, come on. It's almost like gouging, but I guess because of the nature of it, they think it's okay to take advantage of alcoholics.
Yeah. The beer selection is not that great looking either. They have like your standard stuff, but it's $8.25 to $11.25. So price isn't terrible, but the selection's not that great. So there's a few food choices too. They have a basically a charcuterie plate, cheese and meat. For $29, again, even though Baseline just changed their charcuterie plate, I think theirs is still the best value you're going to get. Although I'm not sure I love the change they just made, but they have a flatbread for $15, crab cakes, what is this, hummus, yeah, and then ahi tuna, I don't know. I can't say I'm, like, sad that I'm not going to be able to go here, so. I'm kind of okay with it.
You're okay with it?
Kind of okay with it right now.
Yeah. I mean, I have no intentions. Not anytime soon or ever, probably.
Mama Mel Rose's is closed. Closed May 10th. And the Muppets courtyard area is starting to be no more. So I guess, I assume that means they'll start working on this where the Harryhausen sushi restaurant's going to go.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Looks like it's going to be where that is.
Yeah.
Mama Melrose area. And did you notice on this concept art that, you know, this coaster building, like, is it going to be visible from Galaxy's Edge? Did they think about that?
We'll see when all is said and done. Did they think about it when Galaxy's Edge was visible from, from like the spires were, like the naked part of the spires were visible from like everywhere?
Yeah. I don't know. It does make me wonder, like, in the land, will you be able to see this show building? But I'm sure they'll just paint it sky blue, the no show. What is it called? No sea green.
No sea green was what it used to be. Yeah, they used.
But that wouldn't go with the theming of the Monsters, Inc. So I don't know.
Well, I mean, every time I go into Epcot, I'm completely amazed at how much space that Guardians really has, because I can't see it from the outside.
Mm-mm. I mean, no.
All I see is the old energy building, and that's it. I don't see anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah, blends right in.
As a cloaking device. That's what I was going to say.
No building that large has a cloaking device.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking. So, yeah, sad because, as I said before, a lot of memorabilia in that restaurant. So it's kind of sad that Hollywood Studios is losing, you know, all of its original kind of MGM Studios-ness little by little. I mean, it's almost non-existent, but
it's already doesn't look anything like it did if it weren't for the Chinese theater.
Right.
Pretty much. That's about the main thing.
The Echo Lake area, maybe.
That indie.
Star Tours to some degree, but even that, I was looking at, you know, that old picture of me as a kid standing in front of it. It had like the stage, warehouse stage building number on it and everything. Like they used to all have those.
Oh, yeah. Like it was a set.
Production. Yeah. Like I don't think there's any other left. Yeah.
Nope.
So, oh well. Sadness.
And Muppets is gone, or about to be.
June 7th, so I'll get to say goodbye to it one last time.
One last time.
But have no fear, because guess what? The Muppets have something brand new, not Rock and Roller Coaster, already as of right now. Mm-hmm. Something new. Muppets debuted a Skyliner wrap.
Ah, well, that's not quite the same thing, but sure.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of you can't like go there and like see the Muppets really at the Skyliner. I mean, that's kind of like a luck of the draw.
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah, again, you might be able to get so lucky. But this is celebrating the 70th year of the Muppets, and
they're celebrating it with a closure. Oh, okay.
Right. Your major attraction is about to close, but hey, you got a Skyliner.
Do they have the rights to the original Muppet Show? Could they at least show that on Disney Plus, maybe? I mean, maybe they may have the rights. Yeah.
Well, didn't they say when they announced it was closing that they're going to do whatever they can to preserve the original film? Whatever that means, yeah.
So put it on Disney Plus?
That would be my assumption, but can you do a 3D show and make it work on
it? Like, we're going to send everybody who is a subscriber
3D glasses.
Special 3D glasses.
Maybe. I guess. But this Skyliner ramp, has something unique, which is every side has something on it. So the doors have the Muppets 70th anniversary logo, I guess, 70 years on the doors, which is unusual for a Skyliner ramp. And then you have Statler and Waldorf on the back. You've got Kermit on the other side with his little rainbow connection banjo. And then you've got Fozzie, Miss Piggy, and Sam Eagle kind of looking out the windows. So that's cool, even though they're closing Muppet Vision 3D.
Yes. I mean, it is nice that they do. I mean, why didn't they do it sooner? That's a better question. But, everybody always gets, and I hate to say this about the Muppets because I was not one of these people, but everybody always gets like, oh, I can't believe they're taking it out and we all got to go like crowd the place now and everything. And except for if that wasn't happening, it would still be the
right
five people or whatever it is in the theater on a regular basis. You know what I mean? So
yeah, true.
Like if you really loved it that much, why don't you go see it more often?
Right. Yeah, that's totally true. It's
because think about it from Disney's perspective. That's taking up a significant amount of real estate for something that's like a 5-minute wait.
Yes.
Right.
And once people realize that you're wasting a multi-pass lightning lane on that.
Or in some cases, literally burning one.
Yeah. Back in the FS Plus days, we would use it as a burner, yes. And nowadays, you could use it as you're unlocking the tier twos if you needed a burner. So you technically could burn one with it today.
Yeah.
So, because there's zero benefit to using it, of course.
How long has it been since you had a good burn? Right. Anyway.
Speaking of that, I...
Wait a minute. What?
Well, I'm getting to it. We have a name for the Pirate Lounge at the Magic Kingdom. And okay. For some reason, it made me think of that from Arrested Development. It's called the Beak in the Barrel.
Okay.
And that's why I said the Beak in the Barrel, the Beak in the Barrel. I'll meet you down at the Beak in the Barrel.
I don't get it. No, I don't.
The Big Yellow Giant.
I don't get the name. Oh, yeah, I get that. But Big Yellow Giant.
The Beak in the Barrel. It just has that same ring to it to me.
There's always money in the banana stand.
Yeah. There's always rum in the barrel. I don't know. I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Because I don't know why that was a news headline that it will serve alcohol. Like, no crap. Like, we knew that was the whole point.
Yeah.
So it will be, of course, not 21 and over only, though, because it is Magic Kingdom. So it's kids, and they will have things for kids there. And
so, parents, you can drag your kids into the bar.
Which is what I do all the time.
I know.
The only thing I didn't like about this, though, was... In the description, they mention it being a lot of like shared tables. I was trying to find the exact wordage they used, but it's going to be similar to like Oga's Cantina, where you have to share a table with strangers.
Like, I see.
I don't love that. That's why I don't go to Beer Garden. I don't want to sit.
I don't really mind. The very first cruise that Lynn and I went on, because it was just the two of us, they actually set us at a table with two other couples.
Really?
It was fine. We actually liked our table mates for the most part. There was one that was a bit odd, and they actually only were with us the one night, and I guess they got their...
They jumped ship?
They either had like different table mates somehow, like they... they requested a change for some reason or something. I don't know.
Does that mean they didn't like you?
No, I don't think it was so much that as it was like in some cases. It's funny. I actually remember their names. It ended up most nights just being us and then Jen and Holly. That was their names.
So if you're out there,
if you listen to this episode, Jen or Holly,
yeah, you just know.
We were your table mates on the Disney Fantasy. Approximately, let's see, when was this? approximately 13 years ago now. Yeah. So there you go.
The other question would be, because Magic Kingdom is, quote, you know, a dry park for the most part, meaning you can't walk around with drinks in hand, will they stick to a maximum number of drinks? Like Oga's is a 2-drink, although I believe at Hollywood Studios they'll let you take a drink to go as well. But in the lounge itself, it's going to be a 2-drink. We don't know here, but I'm assuming because it's Magic Kingdom, they'll probably have a 2-drink limit, and it'll probably be time limit as well, like to maximum number of people they can churn in and out of here. So
I wonder if they ever, like, if you say order something with rum and they're like, the rum is gone, you're like, why is the rum gone?
Yeah. Or I mean, like Oga's, they're gonna do like some kind of thing like that with the rum.
Yeah, the rum is gone.
That would make sense, because at Oga's, you know, they shut the power goes out or whatever, and they're like, we have to leave, and then they like bang on the whatever.
They bang it. They start banging, and then everything goes back to life.
Yes, and they're like, oh, all right, I guess we're okay then.
And then Pee Wee wakes up and starts DJing again.
Basically.
Well, he did, Paul Rubens did manage to get that voice in. He's now immortalized in Galaxy's Edge.
So I'll meet you down at the Beak in the Barrel. And the mascot is named Rummy, which is surprisingly a lot like the parrot outside that used to be outside. So I guess.
Oh, okay.
So it's like he's the Rex, the DJ Rex.
So he's a drunk bird. They call him a Rummy.
His name is Rummy.
It's like, I couldn't have an ordinary pirate on my hand. I got a Rummy.
It says, yeah. Oh, sorry.
You know what I'm talking about? You remember that? Rummy? So no. I couldn't have an ordinary pirate on my hand. I got a Rummy. A big, ugly, booze-soaked Rummy.
Oh.
From Blackbeard.
He said,
I couldn't have an ordinary pirate on my hand. I have to have a Rummy.
Yeah.
A big, ugly, booze-soaked Rummy.
Yeah.
Hold on there. Anyway.
It's a great movie.
People that don't know that one, that's a classic Disney film. It's an older one, so you may not know it.
We quote it a lot.
Yeah.
It's an older one, but it checks out.
As is that line.
Yes. So it says, eagle-eyed Disney fans may notice that Rummy bears striking resemblance to the original Barker bird previously sat at the entrance of Pirates of the Caribbean, but he flew the coop some time ago. So he's back now as the DJ at this bar.
The DJ?
I'm just kidding.
I was about to say. So he's back there barking in the bar. Pretty much.
Essentially.
Bar king.
And here's the spot where they say, the mess, it's the largest central space at the Beak in the Barrel, was once the mess hall for Spanish soldiers, now known as the mess. The long tables span the room, allowing for pirates to gather around and tell their tales, while an imposing anchor covered in candles, that's what's going to be above you, hangs high above. Guests may also spot the enchanted rum bottle, which was gifted to Mary by the enchanted Tia Dalma. And it says the captain's quarters, so this must be a different room. Inside the captain's quarters, visiting pirates can enjoy a taste of the finer life, which was once the living quarters of the Spanish commandant. However, the fine drapery hasn't escaped. Slashing blades are burn marks over the years. Oh, that's interesting. So the theming will be cool, yes. I wonder if they'll have any Blackbeard's Ghost references. That would be interesting, too.
Ooh.
Like,
what? Yeah, right.
Aldita's painting would be her portrait. I'd be cool if her portrait was on the wall. That would be awesome.
That would be kind of cool, but I doubt that no one's going to know that reference, so they're not going to use that.
Anyway, so, okay, this was about Muppet Vision again. Let's see. It says, cast members will be part of a special after-hours filming event to archive Muppet Vision 3D. The event titled Archiving Muppet Vision 3D will take place May 14th from 3 a.m. to 7:30 a.m., according to cast members' posts on social media. So is this like a special for Disney Plus or something? It says speculation is that this will be on Disney Plus, but the recent announcement that we'll be filming an event to archive the attraction, it certainly seems like Disney will professionally film the attraction experience and upload it to Disney Plus. So we shall see. There's something coming.
Is Disney going to start uploading ride videos to Disney Plus, like their own version?
Well,
to combat with YouTubers?
They did for Rise of the Resistance, which was it's on there now. And a lot of people.
What was the motivation?
That's a good question. I don't know. Universal has been doing it too, right? They just want their own version out there.
They've put their own version of a couple of rides on YouTube. They haven't done it with Epic Universe yet, I don't think.
Yeah. Well, like.
Because any of the footage out there right now of the rides at Epic Universe is technically illegal. But even though there's some good footage out there.
Right. Of course, there's always someone who will get it on somehow. But
I often wonder sometimes if they don't gain special permission. Some of them I know have to, just give them because they were on respectable channels like Attractions Magazine. I haven't seen anything from Epic on there, though.
Yeah. The other last thing I wanted to mention, the Q2 earnings, they had released parks were up 9% in revenue over Q2, which what was that, the end of last year, the holiday season?
Let's see, that would have started in October, though. So that's the first. The Q2 would be January, February, and March, which I find that hard to believe. Yeah, maybe it was a good post-Christmas crowd then. That's the only thing I can think of.
But it really says higher volumes are attributed to increases in passenger cruise days, theme park attendance, occupied room nights, and DVC sales. Additional passenger cruise days reflected the launch of Disney Treasure in the first quarter of the current year. Increase in guest spending due to higher spending at our theme parks and increased costs primarily attributed to the fleet expansion of Disney Cruise Line and inflation. But, because operating income dropped 23%. But they're saying that was due to the cost of the new cruise ship and then also expenses going up. Anyway. So who knows what that will end up meaning. All right. Let us move on. Let us move on to this debate settling of are the rafts a ride? And I wanted to, I've just been having fun with the deep research function of ChatGPT. So I had really dig into this one.
I can tell you that I just did a very simple question to Grok. It said, are the Tom Sawyer Island rafts a ride? And it says, yes, the Tom Sawyer Island rafts are at Disneyland. I don't know why it just said Disneyland, are considered a transportation ride. They ferry guests across the rivers of America to Tom Sawyer Island, offering a short scenic trip while not a thrill ride. They're listed as an attraction in Disneyland Park, part of the Frontierland area, and provide a unique experience tied to the island's exploration theme. If you just want the simple question, I was just giving an alternative AI, we'll say.
Gotcha. And it does make sense, but it does say transportation ride, which I think that's some of the arguments against it being a ride is that it just transports you to the island and back, and the island itself is the attraction.
Yeah, but it did say that talked about the theming and everything else kind of as strengths for calling it a ride as well.
Right. So we'll dig into what the research I did on this, the unbiased research.
And totally unbiased.
Of course. But it is closing soon. We don't know exactly when yet, but we do know.
In Disney World.
Yes, Disney World. Its days are numbered.
So you can still have the be part of the Parkeology Challenge out west.
Correct, yes, because it will be It'll never go away there. I mean,
imagine, don't they have it in Japan too? I would imagine. Don't they have it?
I don't know. Good question. I don't know for sure. But
okay.
But I basically wanted it to kind of dig through, scour the internet for if there's any official things that Disney mentions that are criteria for a ride. And then, of course, compare it to a lot of different types of attractions and then determine whether or not it actually is or not. What counts as a ride at Disney World? Disney does not give an official definition, but it does distinguish between moving attractions and stationary shows or walkthroughs or things of that sort. Your Swiss Family Treehouse and your Moana Journey of Water walkthroughs, you know, exactly.
Well, the water's moving. Does that not count?
No, you're not in a vehicle that moves, right? Okay, so Disney's internal ride count includes Tom Sawyer Island Raft, Main Street Vehicles, Liberty Square Riverboat, and Carousel of Progress. If it moves guests in a vehicle, Disney usually counts it as a ride, even if the purpose is just transportation within the park.
So that would beg the question, does the monorail count, at least at Disneyland, because it does move within the right. park?
Yeah.
That also goes out of the park, though. So maybe, right. I don't know. Maybe there's the rub.
Right, because you can board it in the park, but it takes you out of the park. And then you can board it out of the park, but it takes you in the park. So, yeah, I don't know.
However, in the case of Disneyland, you do have to have admission just to get on it because it goes in the park.
Right. So, I don't know. But we're talking about Magic Kingdom here, so.
Sorry.
Back to that. Common criteria used by fans and challenges to define a ride. Mechanical movement. So guests must be moved by a ride system of some sort. Ride vehicle or platform, including boats, cars, moving theaters, rotating seats. Defined path or course, not free roaming, follows a track or a controlled path. No self-propulsion. Guests don't move themselves like in a walkthrough. Right.
What if a guest moves himself as a result of the attraction, like getting stabbed in the back, for instance?
Right. I don't know if that counts.
Okay.
Well, you can move freely on the raft, assuming you have room to move around. They're easily packed full, but.
Yeah. Well, you can't go anywhere, though.
Yeah. I mean,
unless you did swim.
Right. Here's some borderline attractions that it found that it thinks could, you know, potentially be either Carousel of Progress, right? Because it's technically a show, but the theater moves. So therefore, they do count it as a ride. Then this is the AI definition, right? So Liberty Square Riverboat also, it's because it's a moving transportation attraction, counted as a ride.
It's not really transportation, though. It's an actual ride because you just ride around the river.
Yeah.
It doesn't transport you from one place. To be transportation, it has to transport you from one place to another.
Yeah. Right. It comes back to the same spot, right?
Yeah. It's a Grand Circle Tour. It's a ride.
Well, it does consider that a ride. It says it considers it as a borderline where, you know, could be.
That's what I'm saying. That doesn't make any sense. It starts and ends in the same place. Didn't serve a transportation purpose. It has to be a ride. Right. It was for entertainment purposes only. The ride was. So
here's another one. Main Street Vehicles. It says it's listed as an attraction on, you know, in the official app. And the answer that AI came up with is yes, with caveats. So it's considered a ride by Disney, they say, because it's moving. As historically included, however, due to inconsistent operation times, some fan challenges make them optional, aka the heavy ride challenge. Because it is inconsistent, I will say. You know, it's not always
true. Well, it became inconsistent because of
crowd level.
It's really more crowded than it used to be in general.
Yeah, yeah.
It's harder to
run them. That's the reason why you don't have double-decker buses in Epcot. If those were back, would they include those? Probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure they would. Yeah. And of course, Swiss Family Treehouse, I don't know why they think this is borderline, but it says, no, it's not a ride because you move yourself through the attraction. Dur. Okay. So, let's keep going. Case study for Tom Sawyer Island rafts. They move motorized rafts across the river. They are free floating and there's no track. So that could technically count against it because it's not a predetermined path, even though, I mean, there's no track, I guess. You technically, if you had a rogue pilot, they could just take you wherever. You know what I mean?
Okay. It doesn't run on a track?
Mm-mm, no, not a track. Okay. It's free floating. But it does carry guests, so you board just like any other boat ride, but you don't sit, you stand. So that's another thing that makes it different. They follow a defined path from the dock to the island, but it's not a track. The guests don't do the work. The cast members steer the raft. And it does operate regularly. So they dispatch back and forth all the time. They're themed and listed as an attraction. So it says not just the ferry, you're rafting to the island, like Tom and Hook. So the conclusion is that yes, the Tom Sawyer Island rafts are a ride. By every meaningful metric, it moves, it's themed, and conveyance. That's why Parkeology includes it. And Disney counts it as one of the Magic Kingdom's 50-plus rides.
Here's a question.
Yeah.
I don't know when the last time I've actually noticed them operating, but do the Friendship boats still operate?
Yes, at Epcot, they do.
Yeah, why is it not included? What's our explanation? Because it goes from one side to the other. It moves. It essentially does the same thing as Tom Sawyer, but it's...
But it doesn't take you to a place that you can't get to, like you can still walk to Morocco. You know what I mean?
Well, if you're going to say that, then why are you including the Main Street vehicles? Because they're not, it's not, you can walk from one end of the park to the other. I'm just saying.
But it is a Main Street vehicle. But it is a themed vehicle that's moving. It's not, Friendship Boat, I don't think is themed, but.
Let's be honest. The only reason why the rafts and the Main Street vehicles are included is because of the fun and the challenge of it. The Friendship boats are not considered fun or challenging, I'm sure. Actually, the Friendship boats would make Epcot extremely challenging if you included that. Although I guess you could incorporate it into getting over if you got on the one side that goes over to France, basically, and you could use it as a means to get to Remy a little quicker. But yeah.
I mean, if you happen to board it right before it took off, it might be faster than walking, but I don't know.
That's a good question. Maybe we should test that out one day.
Yeah.
Have somebody board, and then like the other person be like what just outside of where the thing boards,
yeah.
And then as soon as it takes off, you take off,
right?
And go to the other side. Just to see.
If we're speed walking, there's no way the boat's faster. You. There's no way.
Well, it'd be interesting to see how much of a difference then.
A lot, probably. Especially, you know, like the brothers.
Well, the loading time. Yeah, the time to like get off is probably the biggest problem with those boats, right?
I mean, yeah.
It takes a while to dock and then get everybody off.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to be first off, last on and first off, like to
kind of.
Essentially, yeah. But anyway, so you got to get lucky too if you were going to time it right. But here's the conclusion for the Tom Sawyer Island rafts, just the whole thing. In summary, Walt Disney World doesn't overtly label something as a ride in the official literature, but it implicitly recognizes any moving attraction as a ride. Borderline cases from rotating theater to a gentle ferry raft are still part of the ride roster. If they involve moving passengers by examining official listings and challenge rules, we see a consistent logic. If an attraction moves guests through an experience, it is considered a ride. Using simple criteria based on movement, conveyance, and design intent, we can clearly delineate what counts. And as we saw with Tom Sawyer Island example, even a humble log raft across the river meets the magic standard of a Disney ride. So for those theme park fans gearing up for an Every Ride Challenge or Spirited Podcast debate, there is now a well-supported framework to decide what's in or out, making sure no actual rides are left unridden. But you won't have to worry about this and probably by the end of the year, I'm guessing, because the rafts will no longer be operational.
So in order to have this be similar in the challenge in the future, they're going to have to add the friendship boats and then
that way it'll... Now I'm going to have to ask it that question now that you bring that up.
The friendship boats?
Yeah, I'm going to have to ask that the rafts are themed where the friendship boats are not, and the rafts take you to a destination that you can't get to any other way, and they take you back to the same place, but only after you've been to the place you can't get to on foot. So,
I don't know. And so your argument of the difference between the friendship boats and the Main Street vehicles?
The Main Street vehicles are also themed, whereas the friendship boats are not.
Okay.
And
that's about the only thing you can hang your hat on there.
Probably, because they do just take you up to the end of Main Street and back. So you don't really take you somewhere else you can't get to.
On foot.
On foot. Okay, so now that we've opened this can of worms, I've asked it about the friendship boats inside of Epcot. So it says it does check a lot of these boxes. So mechanical movement. They are boats. They are inside the park and they do move guests. There is a ride vehicle, right? The boats. It does have a predefined path. It goes between Canada and Morocco. Is the side that's typically open now. Only that one side. It does have a semi-regular schedule throughout the day. But it says, here's where it gets tricky. Unlike the Tom Sawyer Island rafts or the Main Street vehicles, the friendship boats are not themed as part of a larger attraction. They exist purely as in-park transportation. They aren't on any official attraction list either. Disney doesn't market them as an experience the way you get the Liberty Square Riverboat or the Tom Sawyer Island rafts.
I see.
So they don't list the friendship boats as an attraction on the app or map, but they are there as an option. So I think that's the main reason why Parkeology doesn't include it, because Disney doesn't say it is. So their verdict is no, it's not a ride. It says, despite checking a lot of the boxes, the friendship boats inside Epcot are not presented as attractions by Disney. They're purely transportation utilities like the monorail or Skyliner. Even though they move guests inside the park, they follow a route. They are not designed to be an experience in and of themselves. That actually kind of helps the case for the rafts, in my opinion, because Disney lists them as an attraction, whereas the friendship boats operate inside the park, but it's not listed as an attraction.
So that also would make, though, the whole moving thing kind of makes attractions like Soarin' and, say, maybe Flight of Passage a little bit tricky, too, though, if you think about it. I mean, it moves, but just barely.
Right. That's a good point. I mean, you do get lifted into place. And then Flight of Passage, you're kind of tilting and...
No, you're going to say
you're moving.
You kind of create your own motion in a way.
Sort of. But it does move, so I guess because it moves. So that would be, if Alien Encounter or Stitch's Great Escape was open, you don't really move there, right? So that wouldn't be considered an attraction, right?
Wouldn't be considered a ride.
Well, that's what I meant, a ride, sorry. Anyway.
Not by, it wouldn't meet the test. It wouldn't pass the litmus test.
So for the main street vehicles, it says they seem like simple transport, but they meet the surprising number of ride criteria, like mechanical movement, a ride vehicle and platform, which I'm not sure about platform, but defined path. There's no self-propulsion by guests and a themed experience. It says the biggest and most important check is the vehicles are meant to evoke the early 20th century transportation. They aren't just for function. They're for atmosphere and show. Cast members often interact in character, especially with kids. They have limited operating hours, usually only in the morning, making them feel more like a special experience than just transport. So it says you could 100% walk the same path, but so does the Liberty Square riverboat. So do many other boat rides. And let's be honest, you could walk around the Carousel of Progress instead of rotating through the scenes too. So this isn't a deal breaker. That's a weird thing to say to me, but.
You know what would be an interesting one now that I just thought about it? A transportation challenge.
You mean to try and do
that every form of transportation, yeah, in one day, basically. Resorts and everything. So, like, you'd have to, like, use transportation at each resort.
Oh, wow. That would be, where would you
start? If you did it that way.
And how could you do it? So, here's another question, then, now that you're talking about this kind of challenge. If you're talking about, say, monorail, do you have to ride more than one, or is it just any leg of or any track? Do you have to ride?
I would say, okay, let's do it this way.
Resort or just
let's say you have to touch each. What's the way to put it? Like, how would you do the All Stars?
You're saying you have to touch every resort
in some way, shape, or form.
Or every type of, because some resorts just have bus. So if you just rode the bus from one resort.
Right. So like All Stars has just bus, obviously. Animal Kingdom Lodge has just bus. Saratoga has the water taxi from going to Disney Springs and back. And also when
the water is high enough. Yeah.
And then also there's the one that goes to
Port Orleans.
Yeah.
And Treehouse Villas also on the Sasagula.
So,
would the...
Doesn't also go all the way to Key West?
Yeah. Would the amphibicars count at Boathouse?
Does it really... Is it transportation? I mean...
Not really. It just takes you around and you come back.
That'd be the take everything that moves non-park... challenge, I guess, is what that would be.
Okay, so also though, inside the park, you'd have to ride the train. What about People Mover? What is your criteria?
Well, People Mover is not really a transportation. It doesn't take you from one place to another.
So what about the train inside the park?
The train takes you from one place to another. I guess that would count. I guess technically the Main Street vehicles would take you from one place to another if you're going to do just transportation of that sort. This one would include the friendship boats. Maybe you have to do every type of transportation on property. So the friendship boats inside of Epcot don't count. Only count for that. They don't count as the friendship boat that goes outside of Epcot. I don't know. I guess it could be doable.
There's a lot here that we haven't thought about.
Yeah. I mean, what if we did one where it was like you did every form of vehicle that's outside? Like that included the recreational type vehicles. Like you had to do at least one type of recreation vehicle by each resort.
A golf cart? You'd have to get a...
Yeah, you'd have to get a golf cart, or you'd have to get a water sprite, or you'd have to get a...
rent one of those boats. Like,
yeah.
Okay, this is getting really expensive and...
It could get interesting.
Hmm.
Well, most of the ones are free, actually, the transportation ones, but...
Yeah.
Until you throw in, like, unless you wanted to throw in a minivan, then it would start having cost.
Oh, Lord. If you take the minivan from the Grand Floridian to the Polynesian, it's like $26, so.
I mean, I'm just thinking of other challenges you could do, like a transportation-like challenge, because there's been other challenges created. Like, there's been people who have created challenges that were revolved around, like, meeting characters, right? How many different characters they could meet. You know, those type of challenges. There's some that were more doable, like there is just do all the mountains in one day and, you know, things like that. Do all the coasters in one day. Definitely doable.
Yeah.
You know.
Hmm.
There's all kind of versions of challenges you can do.
Interesting.
Yeah. Anyway.
That's an interesting one, though, because I guess in Animal Kingdom, you have the Wildlife Express. Because it takes you somewhere.
Transportation?
I would think.
Now, this is assuming you're going to include in the park. But yes, you could do that if you're going to include in the park. I don't think that. Does the studios even have a form of transportation?
I don't think so. If they had that original concept at Galaxy's Edge where you ride that giant animal around, that would have technically been a transport. Remember that?
Okay.
Whatever it was, I forgot what it was.
Yeah. So Studios is actually the only park with no in-park transport, if you think of it that way.
Technically, yeah. It's also the smallest, really.
Mm-hmm. There's no need. The closest thing they had to one, I guess, was when Galaxy's Edge, when they still had the hotel, the Star Cruiser open, taking that transport from the Star Cruiser to Galaxy's Edge.
Boy, that would have been a really expensive challenge. You have to book a Star Cruise. You have to book a round of golf.
You can just get a golf cart over at
minivan
Wilderness Lodge or something. I mean, not Wilderness
or Fort
Lodge,
Fort
Wilderness. Yeah, you could just do that, right?
Well, it's still expensive. You have to pay for that.
I don't know if the golf cart should count, because you can't drive those to another destination. Really, you can only drive them around certain areas.
Or is it? You know, also you're controlling it, so maybe it's only things that you ride, not control.
Yeah, that would be a good thing. You have to drive it, so.
But
that would take out the boats, too, like the.
Well, yeah, I mean, because I think it's unrealistic.
Let's just say if you just did the transportation one. See, you have a bus, you have the boats over at Disney Springs versus the boats at... See, the different type of boats matter, right? Because they're different than the friendship boats.
The ferry boat that takes you
to... So you got a ferry boat, yes. So you got several different types of boats.
The friendship boat, and then the big boats that take you around...
You have three monorail lines. You have three Skyliner lines. So it would take a while to do them all.
Sure would.
It could be a challenge, actually, just to do the transportations.
Yeah, I think so.
Now, of course, bus, you wouldn't have to ride like every bus.
Oh, yeah. Would you have to ride every different monorail line?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You have to ride the Magic Kingdom one, the resort one, the express one, the resort one, and the Epcot one.
Hmm. But you don't have to ride every monorail train?
No, not every train. That'd be ridiculous. You could
every
probably...
Skyliner wrap as well.
That would be a challenge in itself.
Yeah, but you probably couldn't even do that in a day, ride every Skyliner vehicle.
Right.
That's operating.
That would be interesting to have someone do a challenge just to see how many different ones I could get. That might be a challenge. They have to get them notepad or something to mark it down.
Right. Fascinating. All right. Well, we have a new challenge for everybody. But the rafts are a ride.
I mean, I could ride the Skyliner all day. I mean, it would be fine by me.
Yeah, because you're Team Skyliner.
You would do it too. You know,
get your Skyliner shirt.
You know you would. Yes, get your Skyliner shirt, your RAF shirt, your monorail shirt, all your transportation shirts.
Where can they find all that stuff?
Well, I mean, we're on Facebook, X, Instagram, all that's at TWTM Podcast. One of these, the RAF shirt, you can get at the Spreadshirt store. Which is shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM podcast. But then the transportation shirts you can actually get from T Public.
which is linked on our website.
Well, we also have a YouTube channel, so you can take it from there.
Yes, we have a YouTube channel. You can find all that on there. Those are our episodes and everything. Our website links to all those things and more. You can email us, podcast@travelingwiththemouse.com. So for John, my name is Adam. This has been Traveling with the Mouse, and we hope you will join us on our next trip. Across to Tom Sawyer Island.
Transportation? No.
Yeah.
I mean, the riding every form of transportation in a day would be kind of cool, don't you think?
If you could think of all the possibilities, there's a lot.